In. Well, I thought I was through with this episode in the book of Luke in the fourth chapter. You recall what I've been teaching on. I've been teaching from the fourth chapter of Luke, the 18th verse. And I thought that surely there's nothing else I can say about this. But over the weekend, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. God does not want me to leave this hanging. The Holy Spirit dealt with me to finish the conversation that Jesus had that day in Nazareth. When he had read Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, he gave the book back to the attendant and he sat down and began to expound on this verse of Scripture. He told them emphatically that today, this day, is this fulfilled in your ears. He told them that he was the one of whom this verse of Scripture spoke about. He was the Messiah. He was the healer of broken hearts. He was the preacher of the gospel to the poor. He was the great deliverer. He told them, I'm the one. I'm the man that Isaiah talked about. And when they first heard these words, it was gracious words, because never a man spake like this man spake. He spake not as the Pharisees, but he spoke with power and authority. When they first heard this, they were thrilled. They admired his words, his gracious words. But then reasoning kicked in, and they began to reason among themselves, and they come up with this rationalization. Is this not Joseph's son? We know him. I believe that is the same words that Jesse and his son said about David. We know him. You recall the story. Samuel went down to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king of Israel. And after all of the sons had failed the anointing test, Samuel says, is this all of your boys? Is this all of your sons? Jesse replied, well, no, not actually. I've got one that's my youngest. He's out in the fields taking care of the flock. But I know David. He's not into politics. He's not into war games. He's more into the arts. He's a musical guy. Why, my, he has gotten himself some musical instruments, and all he does during his free time is sit around and strum on his instruments and write songs. In fact, he entertains us almost every evening as we sit around the campfire. And David, he would get out one of his musical instruments and he would play us one of his latest songs. No, Samuel, you've got to be wrong. David is not the kingly type. He's more into the arts. I think you're just wasting all of our time. The reason he's not here, Samuel, is I know David. There's nothing in David that's royal or kingly. David is a music man. I think you're wasting your time. And in my mind's ear, I can hear David's mother saying, hush, Jesse, let the prophet do what the prophet does, and let's see what happens. Because I know David, and he is constantly surprising me. That's almost what they said about Jesus. He's just a carpenter. He's not the anointed one. He's more into building houses and building barns than he is into building kingdoms. Some of us have known him since he was in diapers. We watched him grow up. We've never seen anything special about him. Some of us have worked on construction jobs with him. He never impressed anybody as being special. And now he's telling us that he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. No, no, no. He cannot be the anointed one. We know this old boy. We know where he came from. He is one of us. He's just a poor Galilean hillbilly like you and me. He's no different. How can he even say that? They had heard of the miracles that he had performed in Capernaum. And Jesus read their minds and said, "You will surely say, whatsoever we heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." They had heard of those great miracles that he had performed in the city of Capernaum. And now they are demanding that he do the same thing here, right here in his own hometown. But friend, God's miracles are not on demand. His healings and his deliverance is not on demand. God's healings and deliverance and his salvation comes with stipulations. There is a lot of ifs before you are saved. If you will turn from your sins, if you will believe and be baptized, if you will endure unto the end, these are the stipulations that God puts on his salvation. It's not a salvation on demand. It's not healing and miracles on demand. God is sovereign. And to point this out, Jesus gave them two illustrations to make this clear. The first illustration was in Elijah's time, when many Israelite widows were famishing for lack of bread because of the 3.5-year drought. But none of them received a visit by the prophet. None of them got their barrel of meal miraculously replenished, as did the heathen widow. And again, there were many lepers in Israel in the times of Elias the prophet, but they were all passed over. And Naaman, the Syrian general, was cured. In both of these instances, Jesus showed that the Jews had no such claim upon God's blessings. If it pleased him, he could pass them by. Because God is sovereign, he will show his grace to whom he will show his grace. Trust in him.
Your help is on the way. Don't lose hope, 'cause there's gonna be a change. Just call on Jesus' name. Rest your soul, your help is on the way.
For the one that said was hopeless, haunted by a past mistake, and that one that's locked up in a prison, bound with unseen chains, for that lost and weary traveler, that modern day prodigal that strayed. Yes, I've got some good news for you. Your help is on the way.
Your help is on the way.
Don't lose hope, 'cause there's gonna be a change.
Just call on Jesus' name.
Rest your soul, your help is on the way.